Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Hindustan Oil Exploration Company Limited Q1 FY27 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions at the end of today's presentation. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I would now like to hand the conference over to Ms. Saloni Soni from EY. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Good day, everyone, and welcome to the Q1 FY27 earnings conference call of Hindustan Oil Exploration Company Limited. The company published its results yesterday and have uploaded the investor presentation on the exchanges earlier today. I trust all of you would have had the opportunity to review them. Before we start, a disclaimer: some of the statements made in today's earnings call may be forward-looking in nature. Such forward-looking statements are subject to risks and uncertainties, which could cause the actual results to differ from those anticipated. These statements are based on management's beliefs and assumptions on information currently available to the management. Audiences are cautioned not to place undue reliance on these forward-looking statements while making their investment decisions. On that note, let me introduce you to the management in today's conference call. We have with us Mr. Varuruchi Mishra, Managing Director and CEO, and Mr. Alan Joseph Andrade, CFO. Without further ado, I'd like to hand over the call to Mr. Mishra. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Saloni. Good afternoon to all of you who are on the call. Before we start, may I request you to spend 20 seconds looking around for your escape and evacuation routes just in case of an emergency. Familiarize yourselves because that's a good thing to do when you start any conference calls or anything.
The standard issue.
So this is a standard thing that we should all be doing. So with that, let me start with a brief on how the quarter has been, what have we been doing, and what is the look ahead for us. The quarter unfolded against a backdrop of continued focus on energy security, as you know. Domestic hydrocarbon production and infrastructure development across the entire oil and gas sector has been a heavy lift for the country. While the broader industry continues to navigate operational and market challenges, the long-term fundamentals remained very encouraging for us, supported by the huge demand that the country continues to see now and in all times to come to be able to propel our growth by 7%-8%. Energy becomes the bedrock of this growth for the country. Against this backdrop, our focus for this quarter remained absolutely clear. We continue to prioritize operational execution, production optimization, and continue to work on our development projects while all the time trying to have a strict discipline in our capital allocation. While certain assets faced short-term operational challenges, we've made meaningful progress across the portfolio in positioning our key projects for future growth. So one by one, I'll take you through the progress across our portfolio, beginning with our offshore assets. So at BAT, our flagship offshore asset, production during the quarter was impacted by higher water cut from one of the producing wells, resulting in lower output. Now, if you remember, we had said last time that we have to do workover on these wells to shut off the water zone, etc. Incidentally, the water cut continued to increase, and that has impacted production, but we continued to produce from these wells. In order to sustain production at near similar or slightly higher rates, we have changed the configuration of the compressor trains on the platform, on the MOPU, so that the compressors are now able to operate with a lower suction pressure. What that does is that allows the well to flow more even when the flowing wells, flowing pressures of the well decreases. So that configuration change has been done and we are in a test mode now. The workover of two existing wells, which is D1 and D2, we continue to stay on track. We are in discussion with the rig for the final award this month, and then they would be mobilized by October, at which time we will work over on the two wells which are currently producing, shut off the water zones, open up new oil and gas zones, and ensure that we have an increased production from these two wells. We have made meaningful progress on resolving our HPCL issue, albeit that there were delays in the offtake by road. But that said, the offtake continues, and we are reselling the crude to third parties. Moving to B15, which is the new block which has been awarded to us, the FDP is under preparation. We are looking at all concepts. We are evaluating three or four concepts at this stage. One of them includes connecting to the existing ONGC's platform to reduce our capital costs. So all of that is being worked now. And we'll do the drilling in FY 2028. The reserve levels are 16 MMBOE, which will be reappraised after we have done some more processing and after the first well. We are hopeful that we'll see an upside. At PY1, which is in our east coast, the weather platform, the three wells, we have suffered serious production loss, and now we are in discussion, or we have already awarded a contract for rigless intervention on the wells, which will increase production from these wells in the short term before we come back and drill two new wells. Now, the drilling of those two new wells, while we had planned for quarter four of next year, they have become contingent upon the ability of the gas buyers, IOCL of the Gale, to lift our gas, because otherwise we will have sat on these new wells, having drilled them, ready to produce, and if they keep them shut for X number of months, they will again be watered out. So this time, we are trying to get it right. As far as possible, we'll have a take-or-pay agreement, either with Gale or with IOCL, and only then we will spot the wells. So that's the intent that we are going ahead with. But in the interim, we're doing the rigless completion to increase production from PY1. Now let's get back to the onshore portfolio. So we have Dirok in Assam, highly prosperous field. We are the operator with 27% in the field. There isn't a reservoir in India and in large parts of the world where your production header pressure from six wells is 3,000 PSI. That speaks to the prospectivity of this reservoir. But that said, we are producing only 60 or 70% or 50% of the capability from the existing well stock because of the lack of evacuation route. Now, stuff have happened in the evacuation route improvement, as in the PNGRB has made the DNPL line as a common carrier. Earlier, it was a captive of NRL Oblique Oil India, but now it's, of course, operated by AGCL, but now it is a common carrier. There were some areas on some sections in this pipeline which had degraded, and therefore the overall capacity of the pipeline has been reduced. So they have laid pipelines along the main pipeline for sections which have seen asset integrity challenges. They have to tie back into the main pipeline. They're looking at hot tapping to tie back and get back the total capacity to back to 2.5 million standard cubic meters from the current degraded capacity of 1.5 MMSCMD. So that work is being done by Assam Gas Company Limited, and we are in discussions with them just to be there to support with any technical requirements that they may have on this hot tapping. Coming to Khorsang, we had successfully completed 9 wells program, and we doubled our production from last year. But we haven't rested there. We have continued to do work over on a few of the wells. We have now, we have 23 additional wells there. We were sat for without production. Then we have been working over on them. 5 or 6 workovers have been completed and we are incrementally increasing production. We are also getting ready for the second phase of 9 wells. The rig has been identified. The award is imminent. We are looking at tubular. We are ordering the tubulars. We should be there in 1 or 2 months' time. And then we should be good to go for our second phase of drilling in Kharsang. The problem remains that if we find gas, then we don't have a buyer. And in fact, we have found virgin gas on in two of the wells in Kharsang. That's a good problem to have, but only thing is it delays the monetization of the reserves because we don't have a pipeline. So we have started a pipeline route survey as we speak. The tender is out. It will close tomorrow. And then we will have parties to start the route survey. There is a challenge there as it goes through a forest area, so regulatory clearances might be an issue. But given where we are and the confidence that we give to the environmental teams and to the forest officials about not disturbing the fauna and flora of the forest, we should be able to navigate this regulation and should be able to start laying the pipeline in 6 to 8 months' time. So that will then connect us to a continuous gas flow path that Oil India has already created, and that will help us monetize the Kharsang gas molecules. Oil we are already selling to the Digboi refinery, to various buyers, mostly IOCO. So coming to Gujarat, in Kambay Basin, we have Azdol, Balol, and Palej. These in Balol, we have started a new technology, which is a belt technology where the belt goes down and soaks up the oil and comes up and we squeeze out the oil. That new technology has been implemented. It is in the trial phase. And then we have also debottlenecked our Palej facility to be able to increase production by using thermionic heaters and those kind of things. So overall, 20 to 30% increase in production we will see going forward, although we have already seen a 5 to 6% increase in the last quarter. But more to come. Palej has a lot of potential. We have to drill new wells. We have also ordered sucker rod pumps. So we are on track to increase production from our Kambay assets. A new block, which has to be given to us for exploration, is in the final stages of approval. Once that happens, and it's close to our Palej field, we'll be drilling new exploratory wells as well. So that is the long and short of our portfolio, and we are on track to both grow value, create value, as well as preserve value for our organization and for you shareholders. So with that, let me stop, and I'll hand over to Alan for a quick 2 minutes, 5 minutes update on the financials, and then I'll be very happy to take questions.
Thanks, Guruji. I will now take you through the financial and operational performance of the company for the quarter. During the current quarter, the company recorded standalone revenues from operations of 117.5 crores compared with negative of 194 crores in the previous quarter. After accounting for profit petroleum and revenue share of 9.83 crores, the net revenue stands at 107.6. The previous quarter was impacted by the reversal of the HPCL sale of 259 crores, as we are well aware. The consolidated revenue from operations for the quarter was 124 crores, and after profit petroleum and revenue sharing, the net consolidated revenue stands at 114.17 crores. The improvement in the current quarter, as Baruchi has mentioned, was driven by higher production from the Kharsang field, mainly crude and favorable Brent prices. This was augmented by the commencement of the liquidation of the BAT crude, although at a slower than expected pace. Even from an operational perspective, the production from Kharsang has been most encouraging. where production increased from approximately 12,300 barrels of oil to 17,400 BOE. The average realization of crude and condensate improved significantly to about $95.5 a barrel, compared with approximately $70.8 per barrel in the previous quarter on a standalone basis. In addition, the average gas price realization improved to $12 a barrel to MMBTU, compared with 9.8 MMBTU in the previous quarter. So quarter on quarter, price changes and volume changes from Kharsang have delivered a really good top line. Coming to profitability, the standalone profit before tax and exceptional item was 112.54 crores for the quarter, compared with 30.4 crores in the previous quarter. This is mainly due to the offset to cost from higher inventory of crude in the previous quarter. As you know, the previous quarter we reversed out the sale from HPCL, and hence that resulted in a higher, in a lower cost offset to the overall operating cost. On a consolidated basis, the profit before tax and exceptional items was 6.5 crores compared with 9.01 in the previous quarter. The other income for the quarter was 19.37 crores on a standalone basis and 20 crores on a consolidated basis. The standalone other income includes the release of a long due escrow balance pertaining to cost of recovery of approximately 8 crores, income from an insurance claim which was admitted by the insurance company of 2 crores, and topping up of the Adbhut acquisition as at March of approximately 2.3 crores. The movement of profitability needs to be viewed in the context of the quarter's cost structure, mainly the impact of changes in inventory of crude which is stored in tankers and not sold till the appropriate time. Standalone total expenses for the quarter at 114 crores included depletion of 51 crores, royalty, cess and other statutory dues of 13 crores, and stock adjustments of 41 crores. On a consolidated basis, the total expenses were 128 crores with costs including depletion at 58 crores, royalty, cess and other statutory dues at 15 crores, and stock adjustments of 41 crores. The consolidated statements include the 10% GON Pro sales from Kharsang. As we look ahead, our focus will be cost reduction and cash management to ensure, as Baruchi said, the allocation of funds to maximize full potential of the existing reserves. Thank you, and I will hand it back to you, Saloni. I think with that.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have our first question from the line of Dhruv from Leo Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. So I have a couple of questions. So my first question is that what is the current status and expected timeline for the Northeast grid connectivity that Dairoch depends on? Is the pipeline interconnection actually complete now or is it still pending? And once it's ready, by when do we expect Dairoch production to kind of like ramp to the decent levels?
So our take is that by December, this should be completed. The Assam Gas Company Limited, which owns operates the pipeline, is in discussion for hot taps to be carried out. And then in the NRL, there is 100 odd meters of pipeline which has to be done. That also needs a hot tap. We are told that by December, all of this will be completed because right now, after the hot tap option has become available, NRL shutdown is no more needed. So it is roughly 16 to 20 months lead time for hot taps. So that work is going on with the Assam Gas Company. So December is what we are looking at.
Okay. Thank you. My second question is regarding what's your view on BAT currently? How is the production and monetization progressing given the HPCL dispute, and when do we expect the issue to be resolved?
So if you mean the BAT crude, which is stored in HPCL tanks commingled with their crude, we are in the sale continues through tankers to third parties. We had reversed the sale, as Alan said, in March, April of this year, and we agreed to sell it to third parties. The speed at which they're being picked up by the third parties is slower than expected, but we hope that by end of October, early November, the entire crude inventory will be gone from the from the HPCL refinery in Chembur in Mumbai.
Okay, sir. That was really helpful. Thank you, and all the best for the next quarter.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, if you wish to ask any questions, you may press star and one. Next question is from the line of Shubham Jain from NB Alpha Fund. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for taking my question. My first question was, how much was the impact on the P&L because of sort of mark-to-market losses on the inventory that we're holding?
So the jury has to still come back home. We are in the process of selling it, and it is dependent upon the Brent price. So we have sold roughly 15% of the crude as we speak, and the realization has been, we have incurred some losses, which is on the range of 4 to 5 crores, maybe or 6 crores. But we still have to go with the remainder of the crude, which is now picking up as the monsoon bears out. So we will suffer a loss. Now, how much? I will put my number to around 7 to 10%, but please don't take it as a guidance.
Got it. And if I adjust for this number in this quarter's number, what would the EBITDA have been?
EBITDA?
Yeah, so we've done a 6 crore EBITDA, and there is a certain adjustment that's happened because of the inventory levels. What would the EBITDA have been ex of these adjustments?
Okay, let me come back to you on that, because I don't want to give you, it's a bit of a technical issue. Because there is inventory adjustment, there is profit petroleum adjustment, there's a cost, there's a sale adjustment, okay?
Understood. My second question was, how is the sort of rig alignment over on wells that you want to dig in BAT progressing?
Can you speak slightly slowly? We couldn't hear you. I mean, you were not clear.
So, sorry, I hope I'm clear now. I was asking, how is the sort of alignment of rigs happening for the workover plus the new wells that we want to dig in BAT? Do we already have it in place? And sort of, are we on track to complete it by 3Q and 4Q 27 respectively?
Yes, yeah, so we'll start. So if you're wanting to understand about the campaign, this is a single campaign that we will be looking to deliver. The first one would be two workovers, which are in the range of 10 to 15 to 20 days each. And then we'll have three wells, which would be in 30 to 40 days each. And that will take us towards the end of March, early April. And then we'll install a jacket on it and a production deck. And on that basis, we'll start production. Now, these are offshore wells. Stuff happens. Sometimes the tubing gets stuck, and so there could be delays. So but the plan remains that by June of next year, we'll bring three wells on production. And by November and December of this year, which is 2026, we will have two wells that we have worked over on production.
Got it. Understood. Thank you so much. I'll get back in queue.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, if you wish to ask any questions, you may press star and one. Next question is from the line of Hridesh Gandhi from Discover Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. So I just had a few questions. You know, we've obviously had a long delay in terms of Assam with regards to, you know, for the last, I mean, 2 years, it's been a few months away, right, with regards to it starting. Just want to understand what's giving us the confidence now, and just wanted to understand what are the actual risks involved with regards to the Assam connection, connectivity to the national grid.
It's a very good question. So the current circumstances have posed issues with the stakeholders because the country needs gas. There's a supply chain disruptions. Energy security has become a big thing. So there has been a lot of push from all stakeholders to align and get this done. And to that extent, the PNGRB has hastened to ensure that the line which would carry the gas is no more a dedicated pipeline. It is a common carrier where anybody can pump the gas if there is demand. So that aspect is taken care of. The other aspect was the degraded sections of the DNPL line had to be replaced to increase the capacity. So those lines have been laid. Those sections of lines have been laid. Now it is just a matter of tying back to the original line so that the capacities can be increased and the pressures can be increased. That was earlier dependent upon NRL shutdown because to be able to cut the line, you would have to empty the entire pipeline, depressurize it, flush it with nitrogen. And that would mean 7 to 10 to 15 days of shutdown for the Numaliga refinery. In discussions with Assam Gas Company Limited, many stakeholders, including us, we have been able to convince or we have been able to discuss that hot tapping could be a solution for ensuring that NRL does not have to take a shutdown. In fact, for hot tapping in a pipeline, you actually have to produce gas, continue to flow gas so that the heat can be dissipated. So Assam Gas Company Limited has taken on this concept. They are in the process of award of this hot tapping contract. We have been in discussions with them to provide technical support, although we are not directly connected, but just as a responsible stakeholder, we have been in discussions with Assam Gas Company to provide support on the technical support that they might need on the hot tap. So that gives us a level of confidence. But and it has it could have started a bit early, the tender, etc. But floods have made a lot of disruption in Assam as we speak. Things are getting back to normal. And in talking to the service providers of the hot tap, they are saying 16 to 20 weeks. And although they are trying to bring it forward now, so we are hoping that in December the hot taps will be completed and we should be able to get higher capacity in these lines and then be able to flow to the national gas grid.
So that's, but NRL has been refusing to take us, has been refusing to take a shutdown for the last few years, is it? Because, I mean, that's the easiest solution which was there, right?
Also, it would not be fair for me to say that they have been refusing to take a shutdown. It is also dependent upon whether they are allowed to take a shutdown, given the shortage of products, etc. So there are multiple things that play there, and I'll not be the right person to comment. But long story short, the shutdown was delayed, and we agreed with Assam Gas Company. They were looking for options, and we discussed that hot tap could be an option.
Okay.
And on that basis, they are progressing.
Good, sir. And the other question, you know, similarly with regards to BAT as well. You know, we've done a number of reworkings over the last few years, right? Whether it was having the telechemicals brought in and all of the equipment, etc., over the last few years. Now again, there appears to be another solution here. What's again giving us the confidence that it's going to work this time around when, I mean, historically it hasn't? And just wanted to understand, actually, what would give us the confidence that there isn't anything structurally wrong with the PAT and that it's actually fixable?
That's a good question. In the oil and gas sector, we have to continue to pursue production so long as we have a level of confidence that the recoverable reserves are still in the ground. In India, we don't have an ecosystem where you can make a phone call and get a vessel to do work on a subsea completion well. And these two are subsea completion wells. So stuff has been tried in the past where we have used chemicals to shut off water zones, etc. Some of it has worked, some of it haven't, but now we are getting a rig to be able to completely shut off the water zone through rig intervention. And so the level of confidence in making an improvement towards higher production is high. We will have to do reperforation, etc., because the flexibility to operate increases if you have a rig on the well. And these are subsea wells, so you can't, if they were dry Christmas trees on a wellhead platform, you could have brought a coil tubing like we are doing in PY1 or a wireline and would have done stuff inside the well. But these are subsea wells, and to be able to make an intervention in these wells, physical intervention through a tubing, etc., to change zones, to reperforate new gas and oil producing strata, you need a rig. And that rig we are getting now. We believe our 2P reserves are still there, 26 million, of which 1.5–2 million have been produced so far. So there are reserves to be produced. So we are giving it our best shot. We are planning properly. And we hope that we will be able to minimize the risk. Risks are always there in the oil and gas sector. We are hopeful that we'll minimize the risk and recover our investments with very good margins after we do this work.
Got it. So the other question was, in your latest presentation, we seem to have increased our CapEx budget from the Q4 presentation. Is this because of escalating costs, or is it because of incremental opportunities that we are pursuing?
So at this stage, unless we have awarded the rig contract, we'll always have to have a contingency. The rigs have come in very short supply now. As the oil prices increase, everybody wants to drill. So we have to have some increases in the contingency. And it is not that whatever we have said as a capex will be spent. That is the kind of facility that we'll be creating. And we'll draw down on the facility on a need basis. After doing these two workovers, our own cash flows will also improve. And a part of that would be funded off from our internal cash flows. But just to be cautious, we are going into the market. We are talking to the investors and to the banks to be able to raise a pot of money, which will allow us to do the workover and the three wells and bring them on production unhindered from a cash position.
Got it. Okay, so I'll rejoin the queue. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Manpreet Arora from Aurora Wealth Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Sir, one clarification first, Mr. Antlade. You mentioned that we realized $12 on the gas side. Now, this is blended realizations across BAT and DROC?
Yes. This is blended across both.
Okay. So just a request, in the previous presentations, we used to give, asset-wise realizations on the gas and oil.
Yes.
Yeah, and, it would be good if we can continue that practice, because I believe that BAT is IGX related, and then on the rock side, we have the PPAC pricing, and the blended realizations kind of make it a little difficult to model, especially, when Duroc will, in next few quarters, will start scaling up. It will help us to model it a bit better on how Duroc will start contributing. So, I mean, if you can continue that practice that you used to
do before, that would be really. Point well taken. Point well taken. We will, in our next presentation, make sure that we include the offshore and onshore realizations as well, so we can get an idea of what individual fields are realizing. But please remember that the BAT gas, which is produced, is traded on the exchange, and we realize approximately about $15-$16 per MMBTU on that exchange. The other prices at Duroc are Duroc and at PY1 are pegged at sometimes $10, sometimes $12. So it's a blend. That's why it's a little difficult to tell you what exactly is the thing, but we can certainly, we've got that information, we can provide that without a problem.
Great, great. That will really help. Thank you.
Yeah, because sorry, just to add, I mean, it's we have a JV obligation to report these figures, so every joint venture has the quantitative information as well as the sales information. So it's not difficult to pull that figure out. So we will make sure that all the investors are provided with that information as well.
Great, great. Thank you. The other question was on the BAT, since it is a monsoon time right now, is the production still ongoing or?
Yeah, production is ongoing, yes.
Monsoon. Yeah.
No, it is ongoing. We have never had a day where we shut the production, although we had to do some things related to asset integrity in the splash zone on one of the wells. We had very severe corrosion, et cetera, which we had to figure out. And one of the wells have a very high water cut, and by itself, it would have produced very little. So we have reconfigured the compression, so from parallel, we have gotten them into series so that they can suck higher at a lower suction pressure. So the production continues, albeit that it is partial at this stage. Probably towards the end of the month, it should be completely 100%.
Just to add, I think you asked the question about the average price realization. If you, I mean, I hate to make you do this, but if you want, the BAT realization on an average is $16.5 per MMBTU. The Duroc is $12.5. Okay? Compared with that.
Can you say that again, $16.5 for BAT?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And the Duroc was $12.5.
Okay, great. Great. Thank you. And sir, am I audible?
Yeah, you are.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So sir, on the DNPL side, you know, just to understand what you described about NRL and shutdown. So the sequence of events from now on, because, you know, this was also mentioned in the Oil India con call. So I think DNPL is now a common carrier, but there is a 200-meter, you know, pipeline gap, which needs to be done, where IGGL to connect IGGL and DNPL. And then once that is done, then we will go for the DNPL capacity augmentation, whatever the, you know, degradation has happened, we will do the hot tapping. And then, you know, at the end of December, you know, we expect that gap to flow from DNPL to IGGL. Is that the?
Yeah. So it is in parallel. Your point is well taken. I mean, you have made the right point. Only thing is, AGCL are working on, there is no dependency on the hot tap, and the NRL, there are 100 or 150, 200 meters of pipeline which has to connect the DNDL to the gas grid inside NRL's facilities. And that's a very, that is not such a big thing. The main thing is this hot taps. So they are continuing to work on the hot taps now. And at any suitable time, this 150 to 200 meters of pipeline will be laid inside NRL to connect DNPL line, which enters the gate of NRL, to the exit where it connects with the internet, the gas grid. So that shortcut bypassing NRL is in the gift of NRL to do it at any time. It should not be such a big problem. The big thing is some of these hot taps are in the middle of the fields, paddy fields, and they have water, et cetera, in them, which have all been planned now, and the awards are imminent, and the vendors have gone and seen, have submitted the procedures. So that is the critical path, if you will, for start. And of course, this 200 meters of pipeline, as Oil India told you, is absolutely necessary. But that is within the premises of NRL. And as you can see, 200 meters line is not a very big thing.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you. And one last thing on the BAT, sir. In the last investor call, we had asked about the storage that we have already, 118,000 on the FSO. Now, you had mentioned that we can technically sell it, but there are demurrage charges that will come into picture, and therefore, you know, we have to take that into account if we want to sell what we have currently in our FSO. Now, I mean, and you also mentioned that we're looking at how we can do that. So is that still, you know?
So in October, we'll sell. In October, we'll have sufficient volumes for a small tanker to be able to take it, and we'll be able to sell. That would be around 120,000 to 130,000 barrels of crude we'll be able to sell in October. Because if you have lower volumes and you send a large tanker, those tankers ask for demurrage charges, and there is some dead volume which remains. So it is not an optimal number, 120 to 150. We are looking at smaller tankers. And in October, as soon as the monsoon gets over, we'll sell.
Okay. So, sir, if let's say the oil price is 85.
Sorry to interrupt you, Manpreet. May we request you to rejoin?
Sure.
Thank you.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Nishant Maheshwari, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible, sir?
Yes,
there you are.
Sir, we read something there is a protest in Tamil Nadu regarding drilling of two wells. That too is related with the area of allocation. So can you brief us about this?
Yeah, so look, these fields are all approved by the MOPNG. For, as a matter of good practice, we keep the state governments informed, but the final arbiter on the approval to drill, etc., is the central government, which we have for the entire field. So there were indeed some protests around drilling these two wells. And we have taken up the matter with the state government, explained to them the way this environmental clearances work, and we have showed them all the approvals that we have, and we hope that it will not be such a big issue. So let me rest it there. But you're right, there was an article there. But essentially, as you will read anywhere, the approvals are from the central government. We keep the state government completely informed, though.
In the last phone call, sir, you said that the realization of that HPCL crude was ongoing and the turnover might have been booked. But as on the date, that the same situation is cancelled, and we are more less confident on what we have stated in the last investor presentation, that we will be achieving 11,000 barrels per day from now to June 2027, and that's really now under a big risk. I mean, how we can trust it? Because from last 3 years, we are constantly seeing that the production will increase, but as on date, the production has drastically reduced from 2024 level. That's now how we can trust that 11,000 barrels per day production will be there in this company?
That point is well taken, and I understand your line of thinking on it has not been delivered so far. One of the key reasons why there was a further delay was the stuck-up of our invoice in HPCL, which was a black swan event in many ways, where 260 crores plus, if you add the interest, roughly 300 crores got stuck. Otherwise, the workovers would have been done in November of last year, and we should have been on track to drill. We should have drilled these three wells to be able to get on production. That is the nature of the beast here. Globally, $400 billion are spent every year to keep the production plateau, not from declining, not from growing production. That, unfortunately, we could not do for various reasons. Now we are in the market to be able to raise funds to deliver that. And again, there could be a challenge if we don't get the funds, but at least some part of it we are funding from our own accruals. We are hopeful that we will be able to deliver. In the offshore, in the reservoir, there are always uncertainties. When I say 11,000, it could be 8,900, or it could be 13,000. That's the range that we're looking at on the basis of the technical work that have been done on the reservoir and the prospectivity of this reservoir to produce these volumes. Yeah?
Are we looking into Samudra Manthan scheme and get some expenses to be, I mean, borne by the government of India?
Those are deep for deep water. Samudra Manthan is essentially for deep water, as far as I understand, and we are in shallow water. Right now, the eligibility for us to get some support, we are still in the process of evaluation. But you're right. This is a huge flip for the oil and gas sector in the country. Whether it supports shallow water drilling, that is something that we still have to understand.
Have we started selling crude of HPCL or?
Sorry to interrupt you, Nishant. May I please request you to rejoin the queue?
Sure. If
Thank
it can be addressed, please.
Yes, we have.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in the conference, please limit yourself to only two questions per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, we request you to rejoin the queue. Next question is from the line of Nirbhay Mahawar from N Square Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity, sir. Just wanted to know, when do we see our cash flow sufficient for our CapEx commitment? Because you mentioned that because of the delay from HPCL, we have delayed our CapEx. With whatever operating improvement we're expecting, when do we see our CapEx from internal accruals from here?
For delivering BAT program, we will have to rely on debt, and we are in the process of raising debt. By the quarter four of, by November, December of next year, 2027, our cash flows will be sufficient to fund our growth for B-15. If we get awarded another block, then from point forward, we'll have to take a call. For now, we have to raise debt in the market to be able to fund our BAT program of three wells and two workovers, and then the pipeline, et cetera.
What is the net debt right now? Or net cash, whatever number is.
Our gearing is very low at this stage. It is 0.04. We have some debt on the books. Alan, would you like to quickly talk about that?
Yeah, we have a 20 crore loan from the bank. That is it.
Another follow-up on DNPL, sir. Is there any quantity cap in terms of common carrier being a common carrier, or it can take us?
So the quantity cap is not related to it being a common carrier. It is related to the asset integrity of the maximum pressure containment capability of that line, which is 90 bars. So at 90 bars, it can produce 2.5 MMSCM per day, 2.5 MMSCM per day, and that is the capacity of the pipeline. If you do hydraulics and you have sufficient residual strength, you could go slightly more. Right now, because the line is degraded, they are operating it in the range of 40 to 50 bars. Allow me to tell you how much is it exactly. And therefore, the line capacity has come down to 1 to 1.2 or 1.3 million standard cubic meters. But as soon as the degraded sections are isolated and newly laid sections are connected back, then the entire asset integrity of the pipeline would be restored, and they should be able to then operate the facility at 90 bar, the pipeline at 90 bar, which will take the capacity to 2.5 million standard cubic meters per day.
So would it be fair that FY27 will be able to
request you to rejoin the queue?
Thanks.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, please limit yourself to only two questions per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, we request you to rejoin the queue. Next question is from the line of Anubhav Goel from Cosma Ventures. Please go ahead. Anubhav, are you there?
Hello?
Anubhav, are you there?
Yeah, hi team. So just one question for 4Q. Realistically, given the funding crunch, how firm is our plan for drilling wells in Kharsang and TY1? My question largely is, which field will take priority? Is it B80? Because, you know, there could be some chance we don't drill any new well, especially if the workovers don't give us the output we are aiming for in the third quarter.
So priority-wise, Kharsang is paying for itself, so that's not such a big thing. PY1, the rigorous intervention that we are doing, we are paying from our own books, so that's not also a big issue. B80 is dependent upon the debt that we raised from the market. And you are absolutely right. We would drill the first well, test it, understand the deliverability, then go to the second well, and then to the third. Right now, through the reservoir simulation works, we have found that all of these three are very feasible to drill with production in the range of 1,000 to 1,500 barrels per well. But that said, we will continue to do the logging, and logging is the surest way of understanding what is the oil and gas saturation in individual strata of the reservoir, and then how should we tweak our next well trajectory to be able to target the sweet spots. But that is a work that we continue to do. No drilling campaign is ever started with a self-doubt in the mind that we will not be able to complete. We will only start the drilling campaign once we have a level of confidence that the results would be there. Or we base that if you're plugging 1,000, it could be 700 or it could be 1,400. So that's something that will always be there as soon, because we are talking about stuff which is 4 kilometers below the main mud line. So that uncertainty will remain, but going by the reservoir models that we have, we believe we have infill locations for 3 wells that we will need to drill. These are development wells.
So, sir, for Kharsang, I understand, but for PY1, since the amount would be high, so it would be fair to say if we don't get the results we want by the third quarter, then we might just push up the deadline on that to be conservative.
No, so PY1, the dependency is the gas sales agreement. If we have buyers for the gas, only when we will, then we will drill the 2 new wells, because we have burnt our fingers. If you remember 15 years ago, these wells came on with 50 million standard cubic meters of cubic feet per day production. Not heard of from 3 wells in most of Bombay offshore also. But we got that, and then we were done in by lack of buyers, and we had to keep these wells shut, and the water overwhelmed the gas zones because there's a basement reservoir and then we had to reprocess, and we had to get Petro Vietnam to analyze it. And they have said that we still can make 15 to 20 million standard cubic feet per day from two new wells, but we'll drill those only after we have the firm gaseous agreement. But in the meantime, we are doing a rigless intervention to increase production from the existing wells. And that would be in the short term, which will be funded from our books.
And so post-December for the Duroc...
Thank you.
Just my last question. So for the Duroc offtake post-December, is it like once the pipeline is completed, then we will spend some time forming contracts with buyers, or like can we expect a quick ramp up?
So then NRL has also been made a reseller, and the DNPL pipeline has been made a common carrier. So technically speaking, therefore, NRL can take our gas and sell it on the exchange like we are doing in the Bombay offshore, in the BAD field where we are selling gas on the exchange. So it could be done in 3 days' time. We don't have to have a firm buyer if we are going to the exchange. The route, a critical or a credible technical path to the gas exchange, to the national gas grid is all that is needed for us to monetize the reserves. And then we could have intermediate buyers who can charge a marketing margin, but even so, we will be able to sell on the exchange without much hassles.
Got it, sir. Best of luck. I'll get back in the queue.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Manan Patel, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. So the first question is on DROC. So DNPL had been made a common carrier, but it's only 25% of that capacity. So I want to understand who are the other players will be competing with for that capacity, and once that is online, how much production can we ramp up due to this capacity constraint?
So I will not be able to give you a complete answer on what is the locked-in volumes of other operators. Our locked-in volumes are 0.6 to 0.7, sometimes 0.5 million standard cubic meters on a gross basis, which we should be able to ramp up. The capacity will be doubled, more than doubled, from the current 1.1, 1.1 or whatever is that number to 2.5. So technically 50 million to 60 million standard cubic feet can flow additional in that pipeline. So we'll have to see, but as far as we understand from the discussions that we have had, we should be able to sell all our well stock gas once the pipeline capacity is brought online.
And that should happen by Q4?
Q4 is January to December. End is what is our target, but we'll see if there are some things controllable, there are some things not controllable. But even the uncontrollable ones, we are continuously talking, so AGCL, we are continuously in dialogue with them for hot taps, etc. So we're trying to do our best. Hopefully by December we should know.
Okay. And so second question is on BAT. So workover we're planning to do in October once the monsoon stops. So how long does a workover of the well take, and what kind of production ramp up can we expect from each well after that workover happens?
Roughly 10 to 15 days to 20 days if we got a pipe stuck in or some fish in the well, etc., there are some problems. So 10 to 20 days is a standard time for a workover. We are looking at 500 to 800 barrels per well and 3 to 4 to 5 million scuffs per day from these wells. So that's the range that we are talking about.
Got it, sir. Thank you and wish you all the best.
Thank you. We have a follow-up question from the line of Riddhesh Gandhi from Discover Capital. Please go ahead.
Sir, just wanted to understand
that, you know, what our understanding was from the last call that you all had explaining the HPCL situation was that because you all were getting a similar price and there was not going to be too much of a loss, you all had gone ahead with the resale. Now, if you're indicating that there is a 10-15% loss because the price of a print hasn't reduced and our agreement is strong enough with HPCL that is taken on an as-is basis, then why aren't we then passing on this liability onto HPCL?
Okay, how do I say this? We have an agreement already signed where we have reversed the sale, and HPCL has been very cooperative. They have kept the crude, and we are continuously working with them. We have created additional gantries for obtaining the crude. So there is a very collaborative atmosphere. And we would like to preserve it and keep it that way rather than having double barrel guns at each other. And fighting. Of course, there would be a conciliation process, but we wanted to be very cordial and amicable because they are long-term partners. And we are a producer and they are a consumer, so why not?
But at the end of the day, it is a commodity, right? So, I mean, if HPCL isn't going to take it, someone else will take it. It is oil at the end of the day. So if they are making on an agreement that we have, why wouldn't we just sort of, I mean, as long as there was actually like no loss, then it was okay, right? Because the Brent had run up materially. Now if we're saying that if Brent goes down, we're taking exposure, etc. Shouldn't that be effectively then any shortfall given? I mean, they have accepted the oil, right? They have probably tested the oil, right? And so effectively, them being cooperative and sort of holding the oil should not really be, would be a basic expectation, right? Given it is their
fault. Yeah, I take your point. I wish it were to be that easy and you were our lawyer, but it doesn't work that way. And we have had a situation where we have agreed on a way forward, and as far as a responsible corporate like HOEC is concerned, we will not renege on whatever we have agreed with. But going forward, the matter would be in the conciliation where High Court Chief Justice has been appointed, and we are hoping that it would be an amicable conciliation process, and then we'll move on. We'll sell the crude and we'll move on. But your points are taken. These things have crossed our minds also and others' minds also. But where we are now is an agreed position to offtake our crude, and we are not doing anything different.
Okay. All right. Thanks. That's all for me. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have a follow-up question from the line of Nirbhay Mahawar from N Square Capital. Please go ahead. Nirbhay, are you there?
Yeah. Hello. Yeah, I'm there. On Kharsang gas evacuation, how fast it can happen, sir? How much time would it take?
Good question. So we have to lay a 24 kilometers pipeline to key into the Oil India pipeline, which has already been laid. That pipeline, 24 kilometers, we have started the route. The tender for the route survey will close tomorrow, and then we'll appoint a route survey agency. They'll do the route. They will come up with all the requirements of the right of way there, and then we'll apply to the agencies for the right of way. All going well, we believe in 6 to 8 months we should be able to get the right of way. And if we get the right of use for the way, for the pipeline route, then it is another 6 to 8 months. It's just a 24-kilometer pipeline to lay. And if it were to be an ideal situation, we would believe that by the end of next year, December next year, the pipeline could be completed. But we are where we are. Oil India has already laid a pipeline from Kumchai field to Borduma, Bordumsa, and we have to tie into that pipeline at Bordumsa, which will then connect us all the way up to NRL and then to the national gas grid. So that, given the difficult terrain and the forest areas through which it will pass along the highway and below a riverine, etc., we believe 18 months, 14 to 18 months is the time it will take to lay that.
Sir, post our Dirok ramp up, would it be fair to assume that all cash flow constraints will be over, which you are expecting by the end of financial year at least?
So we have cash flow constraints depending upon what is your work program and budget. If you're wanting to do more, you definitely need more cash. And we are not resting after VAT. We'll immediately go to V15. So I'm not saying it's a constraint in the sense that it will prevent us from delivering what we want to do. It will help, but Dirok will definitely buoy up the balance sheet of the company if we are able to produce all the molecules that are currently locked in the wells. But your point is right. We will definitely have a better cash flow situation if Dirok is completely on stream.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question of the day, and I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
So, thank you. I'm very delighted by the interest that our esteemed shareholders have about the prospects of the company and how it is doing and what is the future. That keeps me honest. That keeps us very sharp, and we have a burden that we carry, which is to be responsible to you and to be able to do everything that we can to be able to create wealth for yourselves. And in the process, help the energy integrity or the energy security of the country and grow at UEC to new heights. So thank you very much for your very active participation, and we stay in hot standby to support you with any queries that you might have. So thank you for that, and very happy to interact again next quarter, where we might have some better stories to say, or some new stories to say. Better meaning new stories to say. Let me stop here. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. On behalf of Hindustan Oil Exploration Company Limited, that concludes the conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line.